It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning, yes? Did you enjoy your time examining God's word this week? Remember last week I encouraged you to be still and spend time with God. And I understand that for some of us, that can be a problem because there are times when we read the Bible and we say, what? I don't understand. Or how in the world am I supposed to do that? One awesome thing about living your life for God is that He never asks you to do anything you could not do with His help. There is no doubt that He will ask you to do things that you could never do on your own. But in the same thought, though, we need to remember that the same one who calls us to greatness is the one who gives us the power to be doing great things. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for this day that we set apart to worship you. I thank you that you have given us the handbook to life, the Bible. And I pray that we would desire to spend time in it. I pray that this morning you would talk to us through your word. Let this message pierce the darkness, soften our hearts, that we would hear this information and put it into practice. I give you the praise for this in advance, in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we'll be looking at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 20, where Paul encourages those that believe to be imitators of God, which right out the gate bids the question, how in the world is a person to be going about doing that? I mean, think about this for a minute. Imitating God? How big and powerful is God? I mean, He created everything from the smallest microorganism to the largest known star that's over a million times larger than the planet Earth. How could we possibly imitate someone that vast and powerful? Well, the answer is Jesus. Jesus came to show us the Father. The Bible says Jesus is the exact representation of God. We read in Hebrews 1:3, the Son, that's Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. Jesus came into this world to show us what God is like. He came to help people like you and me learn how to live and be like Him. If you're acquainted with God's word, remind me again just how Jesus lived. Yeah, He lived a blameless life, healed people, delivered them from the dominion of demons and other bondage. Jesus spoke life into the people around Him, and they found the reason for which they had been created. We're to be doing what Jesus would do. And the only way we can know what Jesus would do is by reading about His life and getting to know Him personally. We're not just to admire and try to be like Him. We're to be joining our life with His and imitating Him. From this passage, let's look at some areas in life that will help us be more like Jesus. Verses 1 and 2 tell us, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Since we are dearly loved by our Father in heaven, we are to be passing that love on to the people in our lives. We're to imitate God by loving people the way He loves them. As we walk around on this celestial ball called Earth, we are to love people the way Christ loved us. He loved us so much, He offered Himself in our place so that we could have peace with God and live with Him forever. It is this sacrificial love that we're to continually pass on to those around us. Would you agree our nature is to love others when it's convenient and it appears to be beneficial to do so? But how about loving sacrificially when we're met with rejection? How about loving someone who seems to be unlovable or someone who makes a mess of their lives because of the wrong choices they've made? Are we supposed to love them? The only way I know to answer these questions is to ask the question, does Jesus love them? At what point does God stop loving a person? I've been reading my Bible for a long time, and I don't find any limits for his love. And because we are loved by God, we can love one another. And we can love those whose lives are tainted by sin with his help. To be living our lives for God, we need his help. Verses 3 through 7 challenge us to live a life of purity.
Let's read beginning at verse 3. Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, coarse jokes. These are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the anger of God will fall on all who disobey him. Don't participate in the things these people do. I love the way the NLT reads. That's what I'm reading from. So if it's not tracking with your translation, that's why I've chosen this one. It speaks to me. Premarital and other immoral sexual behavior was just as common in pagan cultures in the first century as they are today. Do you know Ecclesiastes? Nothing new under the sun, right? I've read different translations of God's word, but I don't find a watered-down version of how the follower of Christ is supposed to be living their life. It is always right and true. Paul shows that God's standards are unchanging. They don't bend to accommodate any culture. What was then is now. God, what? Never changes. Paul's words should get our attention. He says that people that live like this will not be with God or his people in the life yet to come. Did that get your attention? Cause, effect, action, result. Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 5, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Who will see God, class? The pure in heart. Thanks for paying attention. No one can be pure in heart and live an immoral lifestyle. The two do not go together. And the more I'm learning is the more I'm with Jesus, the less I'm immoral. It works. Are you sick and tired of being you? Run to Jesus. Do you believe God's word to be true? Let me go back to that first question. Do you read your Bible? Because if you don't, then it really doesn't matter what it says. But I choose to read God's word. And I choose to believe what it says is true. Verse 3 says, sex outside the bonds of marriage and all other impure living and greed are improper for God's people. If this doesn't bother you, I would question, am I a people of God? Does the world bother you at all? Or are you just okay with it is what it is? Because it doesn't have to be what it is. It is what we make it. And there is so much more than the deception of what the evil one is saying. That's just the way it is. Oh, let them. As a child of God, they do not reflect the character of our Father. Fruit doesn't fall far from the tree. Some people say the nut doesn't fall far from the tree. That would be me. But I thank my parents for training me in the way I should go. And God, through His Spirit, has taught me, don't go to the right or to the left. Keep my eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. My faith is not your faith. Otherwise, you'd be like me. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we were all like Christ? Imitate Him. Paul makes us aware of other things that are out of place for the follower of Christ. Such things as the things that come out of our mouth. Obscenity. Foolish talk. Coarse joking. They just don't fit in the life of someone who is seeking to follow and honor Christ. His instruction, that would be Paul's instruction, is this. Don't let the people around you dictate how you live your life. Let God's word impact you and lead you and guide you and direct you on how to live. To be imitators of Christ, we need to remember we are not of this world. We are born into the family of God. Our description is child of God. I am a child of God, fearfully and wonderfully made in God's image. I'm going to run with that for the balance of my life. Things like immorality, impurity, and greed will destroy the family resemblance of our Father in heaven. You can't be one thing and then another. I'm a Sunday, Wednesday Christian. Sometimes on Thursday. The rest of the time, man, I look like the world. That is not choose you this day. Whom you will follow. You're following God or you're following the world. It is that simple. We are empowered to be a light in this dark world because of where we stepped out of. Look at verses 8 through 14. For once you were full of darkness, but now you have the light from the Lord. So live as people of light, for this light within you produces only what is good, right, and true. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, listen, expose them. It is shameful even to talk about the things that ungodly people do in secret, but their evil intentions will be exposed when the light shines on them. For the light makes everything visible. This is why it is said, awake, O sleeper, rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Before Christ did a work in Paul's readers' lives, they were walking in a dark and hopeless way. But since they received forgiveness and God's grace, they're new people. Are you a new people? People? Paul's saying, since you're now new people, children of light, live like it. And find out what it is that pleases God. Don't live to make yourself happy, by giving in to your secret, sinful, selfish desires. When we live our lives in a way that pleases the Lord, His light shines through us. And it'll bring light. It'll bring the light of life to those who are living in darkness around us. The light of Christ that shines through us helps people see that they've been living a dead-end life. Asleep at the wheel. It's just another day. There's so much more. God has called us to live in His light and let that light shine brightly so others can see and know there is a God who can help them live in a way that is good, right, and true. Ephesians 5, it's not my words, it's God's word. What does this look like? Verses 15 through 20 tell us, so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that'll ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs among yourselves, and make music to the Lord in your hearts. And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says in verse 15, be very careful how you live. In other words, be cautious. Most of you know that I don't wear shoes, right? And frequently people ask, don't your feet get hurt? And my response is, not really. Because I intentionally place my feet on the ground. I walk with purpose. Granted, in the dark, or if I'm hurrying around or not paying attention, I get hurt. But I don't stop. I shake it off and I keep going. I begin again. Purposeful living is part of God's plan for our lives. We're to know why we're here and what the Lord wants us to be doing. We are on this earth to bring honor and glory to Him in all that we do. Not just Sunday, Wednesday, and Thursday. For an hour? Come on, James, that's you. Really? Really? You should try. Make the most of every day. Understand what God wants you to accomplish this day. Because tomorrow has enough trouble of its own, right? Today is the tomorrow we worried about yesterday. Live today to the fullest. Don't waste your life wandering in the dark. Run to Jesus, the light of the world. He'll guide you. Follow the light. Be a moth. Die to yourself. Live for Him. The world offers plenty of things to run after that may seem to bring happiness for a short time, but in the end they bite you. How many of you have run out of day, not stewarding your time wisely, consumed, reading a novel, playing video games, browsing Facebook, watching TV, surfing the internet? They're all good, and then the day is gone. How about suffering financially, living outside your means, chasing things that will not last? The latest car, fancy watches or clothing, ATVs, boats, mobile homes, a second home. We're not to live thoughtlessly or foolishly. Moderation is the key. Have some good, clean fun. Enjoy the life God has given you, but never, ever lose touch with your purpose in life. God gives us things to enjoy, but don't let them distract you from a life that is right, true, and pleasing to God. Make the most of every opportunity. Don't dull your senses with wrong spirits. I think you know what I'm talking about. Don't dull your spirits with the things that were never designed to give you lasting fulfillment. My quest for the mobile home, and by God's grace, He never gave me one. Thank you, Jesus. Being filled and staying filled with the Holy Spirit does not happen by itself. We must intentionally be spending time with the Lord through prayer and time in His Word. Seek Him, and you find Him when you run after Him with your whole heart. Not just random, "Oh, that was a good message, James. Thanks. I'll see you next week." I'm taking you to good food. I'm begging you to read it for yourself. Feed yourself. And God will do the work. But we have to do something too. Pick it up. Read it. Apply it. You know how you apply it? Share it. You know, when you share it, then you really know it. Every scripture I got in my head is because I used it and used it and used it and used it again. I don't sit in my living room going, "Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Lean not on your own. Lean not on your own. Trust in the Lord." I don't even know the verse anymore. Help me with that verse. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path." How did that get in you, those that recounted? You use it. You believe it. As you read through the New Testament, you can't help but find references about being filled with the Holy Spirit or being baptized in the Holy Spirit. The whole purpose of being baptized by the Holy Spirit is found in Acts 1:8. Do you know what Acts 1:8 says? Yes, you do. You will receive power when? When the Holy Spirit comes on you. And when He does, you will be my witnesses. Do you own that? Do people see Jesus in you with the absence of words? How you dress, how you act, how you speak, how you live? Are you imitating Jesus or imitating the world? Are you reflecting Christ well, or do you reflect the world? Because the people know. No one on this planet has the mentality more than a five-year-old, and five-year-olds know. They know if you're real or fake. The only person being deceived is you, yourself, and you. Me, myself, and I. "Oh, look at me on Sunday. Don't I look nice?" Monday comes. Who are you? Be authentic. Being a witness means you'll be able to boldly tell others what you have seen and heard from Jesus. What did you hear from Jesus this week when you read your Bible? Did you read your Bible? I know I ask hard questions. But if you have a phone, you have God's Word. We are to be sharing with others the difference that Jesus has made in our lives. And when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, listen, He gives us the courage to share the power of the Holy Spirit. To tell others about God and how we need God's help to make it through this life and into the next. I've asked one question 3 times. I want to ask a different question once. God has called you to do some great things for Him. Here's the question. what will be your response to his call? Here I am, Lord. Or, that's for James. God's word is for everyone. And it applies to those who believe. Father, thank you for your word, that it is living and active, that it makes a difference in our lives. God, I pray again that you create in us a desire to spend time with you, to search the scriptures, to know them, to apply them, to share them today, tomorrow, until you come again or call us home. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.